Text or WhatsApp your view to Greg on 086 60 25,000.
Yes, and many of you have so far this morning. I'll get to some of them in a moment. Just to let you know, though, coming up a little later in this hour, Garda Grainne Doherty of the Letterkenny Garda Station will be joining us with the latest appeals and information from on Garda Shia Connell, so stay tuned for that. Before we get into the more serious stuff, a caller says, it was a nice photo of yous all, Greg, you beside John Breslin and Lee. Can you settle a row? Did you have your hands in your pockets? If you did, a 100 euro, please tell us the truth. Well, to ensure I tell you the truth, I'm going to actually go and review the photo and check if I did or not. So I'll leave that to one side and I will be back with the information there. Right, okay, on to the issue of what's happening on the world stage, I suppose, and hundreds of you have texted in so far this morning. Greg hasn't mentioned peace or a ceasefire once. We're not paying to keep this war going, Greg. Greg showing his hand, he supports war and keep it going. I would love if you just listen to the first hour again or listen to previous shows. My position here is not to be a nodding dog necessarily, and if someone comes up with a point of view, to try and tease out that point of view. And unfortunately, some people conflate that with me expressing an opinion in these matters, which is not the case. And I've made it really quite clear on numerous occasions how uncomfortable I am with the incredible loss of life, and how I even in that struggle to look at the bigger picture. That's just me being completely honest. I am not... Whatever it takes, but then again, the price could be too high to stop this, is what I've said over and over again. And that's just me speaking as a dad, as a human. But anyway, that's fine. And I'm not being touchy about it. If I'm coming across like that, that's okay. And maybe I'll come across different in future interviews, dependent on the position of the person I'm interviewing. Morning, Greg. I never thought I'd hear an American defend Russia and their dictator. The world is away mad. How naive is that man? Remarkable. Well, I mean, obviously, what is happening now is Donald Trump is looking at the bigger picture and aligning himself with Russia. And I suppose, and I'm not saying Raymond is, if you are Trump-leaning, you probably are going to be somewhat Russian-sympathetic. It's potential there's going to be a crossover there, potentially, if you know where I'm coming from. But look, I mean, Donald Trump's in it for his country, but in it for himself. Elon Musk is the exact same. He hasn't found one error in his trillion-dollar contracts with the United States. Amazingly, with Doge, nothing has propped up in any of his companies and the state. It's just everywhere else. So really, what's anyone's motivation? Ree Zelensky, I wonder what the Micah homeowners and those waiting in hospitals without enough beds think about Micheál Martin handing over another 100 million euro of taxpayers' money to the green t-shirt man to prolong a war that can never be won without compromise and dialogue. And I think it would be very hard for anyone to counteract the fact that that war cannot be won. It simply cannot be won whereby Russia is defeated and Ukraine retains all of its territory. How does that happen? Through war. I can't see any way that could happen. Russia did not technically annex Crimea. There was an election. Crimea voted in a vast majority to stay part of Russia. Question marks over that election, but I take your point. They wanted to be part of Russia in 2017. The Ukrainian army were carrying out attacks in Russian-speaking regions. This was reported by the UN. Ukraine aren't entirely innocent and would have been similar to how ISIS were beheading people. Okay. 100 million euro to Ukraine, modular homes for Ukrainians here, higher rent allowance for Ukrainians, school bus for Ukrainians, yet nothing for the 15,000 citizens and residents who are homeless here. No modular homes for families affected by defective blocks. Somebody needs to remind this government who they're supposed to represent. We're second-class citizens in our own country, that listener believes. Why does a financial deal have to be done before peace talk? Surely it should be the other way round. Another, I hope J.D. Vance gives Micheál Martin a public dressing down on how Enoch Burke's right to free speech in Ireland cost him his liberty. Enoch Burke's free speech has not been compromised. What he didn't want to refer to someone a certain way. So in other words, their freedoms were arguably compromised. I'm not getting involved in that, by the way, but Enoch Burke's right to free speech, I'm sure there's competing rights there. Greg, what about... Hunter Biden laptop, which you've dissed as misinformation. Again, some of the stuff that gets attributed to me, I really find quite remarkable. I wouldn't know enough about Hunter Biden's laptop to even guess what went on there. But anyway, that's fine. If you believe that that's what I said, okay. Greg, please don't repeat the lies on RTE. No EU country will meet its 2030 emission reduction targets. The EU doesn't even measure how EU countries are doing until 2028. I'm only using the same metrics that state that we won't. The same metrics that suggest other countries are doing much better. So how much faith do I have any of those in those statistics? It's not for me to say. I don't know. I'm not repeating lies from RT. I'm just using the metrics that were given to all media outlets, which suggests where we're at and where the likes of Portugal and elsewhere are at. I'm not actually endorsing them. Did Ireland send 100 million to Ukraine? What about charity starts at home? Health in hospitals is a disaster. Defective concrete block homes falling down around us, but the people put them back in government again, so it's all hush hush. The thing about the wealth of this country at the moment, and this is the problem people kind of tend to have, is that Ireland is incredibly wealthy, a huge surplus. And can comfortably send 100 million euro to Ukraine and also invest in health and housing. Okay, now, if you don't like the policies of how quick it's happening, it's not related to the money going to Ukraine, though I think that sticks in people's craw because they're saying, well, why aren't you fixing the problems here before sending money elsewhere? But there's enough money for both. It's just probably about policy and will and what have you. A caller says, is the 100 million euro a loan to Ukraine or a gift, or do we get a raw earth deal? I see what you did there. Good morning. 100 million euro is a national disgrace. Where is all this money coming from when our citizens are lying in corridors, sick and dying, and our houses are crumbling? I'm sorry, but we need to look after our own people first. And I'm not racist, or I don't lack empathy. It's just plain common sense. Another, the government have decided to give Ukraine 100 million in aid. The national papers are covering this and there is outrage. People are absolutely disgusted. The money could have gone into the health system. There's uproar on social media. Politicians claiming expenses. A caller uses a word that I can't use because I could be litigated against, but they believe it's dodgy. As the Dáil and Seanad weren't sitting, if any other job did this, they would be prosecuted. I lived in England, and politicians were sent to jail for claiming expenses when they shouldn't have. Part of the big issue is that, this is as it relates to health, part of the big issue is that many patients are waiting on home help packages to get home. Are there many of them blocking beds? Not their fault, and that is adding to the crisis. That is, of course, something we've covered extensively on this program. There is a massive situation as it relates to getting people packages to release them from hospital to go home. So you're spot on there. That is part of the issue as well. No one sits in the ED for no reason, says the listener. No, of course they don't. But some people are, say, for instance, if you went to Now Doc for stitches, right, and you couldn't get them there, you're sent to ED for them. Some would say, you shouldn't be there. There's no reason for you to be in ED. That should have been done by NADOC, but they don't do it. I can't understand how beds suddenly become available at 2 and 3 a.m. in the morning. No one is put out of their bed at that time. So how are these beds suddenly becoming available? Do we simply have too much walking about and not enough action? Last one before the break here. Greg, when are people going to realise that we have no working government in this country? Letterkenny Hospital is in crisis this morning, and this highlights the crisis that the whole of our health service is in. No housing, no school places. I could go on and on. But all we're hearing from is our government, 750 million for Ukraine and millions in fines for green targets missed. When it's billions. When is this government going to start working for this country, says that listener there. I get people's frustration, but we did have an election not so long ago. Well spoken, Greg. There's too many warmongers getting too much airtime. Thanks for bringing some sanity to the debate. 800 billion for a fighting fund for Ukraine. Boots on the ground. A country invaded and land grabbed. Sounds familiar. When is the UK giving back the land they grab, invaded and occupied? Hi, Greg. We've people dying in our county every day because of our health service. It's diabolical. We have no money to improve our services. But when it comes to Ukraine, there's plenty of money. Look after our own people first, says Tony. If they ramp up the fear, then the people will fall for the rhetoric and turn our neutrality into our soldiers in the front line. Well, you see, there is, you know, we've got government leaders and then it is parroted, obviously, by the media not in America now because it doesn't suit America. So America doesn't see Russia as a big threat anymore because the media's kind of following Donald Trump's line there. But here in this part of the world, you know, you would be forgiven for thinking that our liberty literally is just on the line, that Russia is just about to take over all of Europe and we have to spend these billions upon billions. They're scrapping now the GDP rules that prevent how much you can borrow or spend on certain sections. They're scrapping that in the EU, so you can spend as much on defence now as you like. But, you know, like, what I would say about Russia is that I said it yesterday on the show, they couldn't even take Kyiv. And maybe that's because of the fantastic bravery and resilience of Ukrainians, but they couldn't take Kyiv, and they've been stuck in the east of bar drones. They've been stuck in the east of Ukraine now for 3 years. Yet at the same time, we're concerned that they could take over Poland, they could take over here, they could take over there. And again, I'm coming from a position of ignorance. That doesn't make an awful lot of sense to me. That if they can't even, despite all the incredible loss of life and what have you on both sides, they can't even take Kyiv. They wanted to do it in 3 or 4 days, and yet the rest of Europe could be overtaken by Russia. If someone can explain that to me, I would really welcome an education in that regard. Now, it is time for Community Garda information for this Tuesday, the 4th of March. And we're joined in studio by Garda Grainne Doherty, attached to Letterkenny Garda Station. Thanks so much for calling up, Grainne. Appreciate it.
Thanks for having me, Greg.
Right, quite a lot to get through. And we'll begin with the awful fatal road traffic collision that occurred in Gortahawk at the weekend.
Yeah, certainly, yeah. Unfortunately, another tragedy on our roads over the weekend. So Gardaí and emergency services attended the scene of a single vehicle fatal road traffic collision in the townland of Baltony, Gortahawk, on the night of Friday the 28th of February. The collision involved one vehicle. This vehicle had crashed into the gable wall of a house at approximately 9:30 PM. The driver of the vehicle, a male in his teens, was fatally injured. He was pronounced deceased at the scene. A rear seat passenger, a male in his 20s, was fatally injured and pronounced deceased at the scene. The male front seat passenger, aged in his 20s, and the male rear seat passenger, aged in his teens, they were removed from the scene to hospital for medical treatment. And just at this point, Greg, I would like to express our sympathies on behalf of all at Garda Síochána to the families of Sean McClafferty and Jamie Diver, and we hope that the other two males involved make a full recovery. We're appealing to anybody who may have witnessed this incident to contact us. Any road users who may have camera footage, including dash cam, who were travelling in the townland of Baltony between 9 PM and 9:30 PM last Friday night, they are asked to make this footage available to investigating Gardaí. Anybody with any information, they're asked to contact Milford Gardaí on 91 53060, the Garda Confidential Line on 1800 666 111, or indeed any Garda station.
Okay, and investigations ongoing into a very serious incident in Lifford in January, Grainne.
Yeah, so this serious assault attempted murder in Lifford on the 20th of January of this year. So Gardaí continue to investigate an incident that occurred in Lifford on Monday the 20th of January 2025. Following the incident, a man aged in his 20s was airlifted to the Royal Victoria Hospital in Belfast for treatment for life-threatening injuries, and he remains in a critical condition. A second man, aged in his 60s, was brought by ambulance to Letterkenny University Hospital for treatment of less serious injuries. So Gardaí have renewed their appeal for any witnesses to this incident to come forward. We're particularly anxious to speak to anybody who may have camera footage, including dash cam footage, of a silver grey Peugeot 3008. It's believed to be a 2009 to 2013 model in the Conorbury Road area of Lifford between 10 AM and 11 AM on the 20th of January, to make this footage available to investigating Gardaí. Anyone with information are asked to contact Letterkenny Garda Station on 074 9167100, the Garda Confidential Line on 1800 666 111, or any Garda Station.
Right, now, down to your colleagues in Ballyshannon dealing with an incident that occurred in Donegal Town.
Yes, this is a criminal damage incident. It happened in the area of St Mary's Park in Donegal Town between 7 PM on Saturday the 1st of March and 10 AM on Sunday the 2nd of March. A car had been parked up along the roadside in that area overnight, and the driver returned to discover that the driver's side had been keyed. So we're appealing to anybody, maybe residents in that area or anybody who travelled within that area, who may be able to assist with relevant information, to contact Gardaí in Ballyshannon on 071 985 8530.
Okay, now, criminal damage incident in Clonmany next.
Yes, this incident happened in the area of Giblin, Clonmany, between midnight and 11 a.m. on Saturday, the 1st of March. So the early hours of Saturday morning on towards 11 a.m. that morning. Eggs, flour and other foodstuff were thrown at the front door of a property in that area between those times. So we're just asking anybody, if anybody observed any suspicious activity in that area in the early hours of Saturday morning past, to contact us, or if anybody can assist with relevant information, again, we're asking them to contact Gardaí in Buncrana on 932-0540.
And whilst it might not seem the most serious crime in the world, I've spoken to people that have been the victims of that type of activity before, and it makes being in your home really uncomfortable. You start wondering, you know, why my house and all that type of stuff. So even those responsible might not even understand the seriousness of it. But any information, obviously, the Gardaí keen to.
Of course,
to,
yeah. And it's a, such a senseless sort it of an is, act, yeah. You know. And as you say, it may not seem like the most serious type of incident
but
to some.
If I woke up in the morning, I'd go, well, why me? What have I done?
Of course, you
what's
would feel
next?
You would you feel know, like you had been targeted exactly, in some yeah. way, you know. So we're anxious to get to the bottom of that one. If anybody can assist with any information, we'd appreciate it.
Rightio. Now, theft of equipment next.
Yes, this is a theft, actually, of a quantity of scrap copper. So this was located along a road at the front of a house. This house is currently under construction. It's in the area of Coolcross, Clonmany. So the theft occurred between 8 p.m. on Thursday the 27th of February and 7:30 a.m. on Friday the 28th of February. So we're appealing to residents, really, in that area to make contact with Gardaí in Buncrana. If they observed any suspicious activity or vehicles, such as maybe vans, trailers, that would have been required to transport this scrap copper in that area between those times. Any relevant information, again, can be passed to Gardaí in Buncrana on 932-0540.
Okie doke. Now, we are going next to a theft from a Vill Pier.
Yes, this was recently reported to Gardaí, a theft of an oyster dredge from Vill Pier. This occurred between Tuesday the 18th of February and Monday the 3rd of March. So we're appealing to anybody who may have observed suspicious activity or vehicles down around the area off the pier in Vill between those dates to get in contact with Gardaí in Buncrana on 932-0540. Should anybody come across an oyster dredge, particularly those, I suppose, within the fishing industry, you know, they might hear even through word of mouth, if there is one for sale on a second-hand basis, we're asking them just to alert Gardaí and they can check that matter out. So the Garda confidential line, again, as with all of our incidents, can be contacted on 1800 666 111.
Okie doke. Back down to Donegal Tan now, and a theft in the Quay Street area.
Yes. So this theft occurred between 1:50 p.m. on Saturday the 1st of March and 6:30 p.m. on Sunday the 2nd of March. A black Range Rover had been parked in that area, and at some stage between those times, the front registration plate was screwed off and stolen from the vehicle. So just if anybody observed this, you know, if anybody observed anybody in round a black Range Rover in that area.
In daylight hours.
If anybody has any relevant information, they can contact Gardaí in Ballyshannon on 071-985-8530.
And can you just remind those who may not be aware the significance of number plates being stolen from cars? Because we did seemingly see a spate of that, certainly in terms of appeals, right? I'm not saying there's a peak in it, but I mean, you don't know what those number plates are going to be used for, presumably.
Well, nobody, look, the worry is, and there's so many incidents now in relation to cloned plates and plates being reused on other vehicles in relation to the commission of crime. Mm. So, and in relation to the theft of number plates, but particularly if you ever see anybody, you know, acting suspiciously round a car park, in and around cars, checking cars out, you know, juking down behind cars, looking in car windows, just always alert us, because it could be in relation to the theft of number plates, but these people could also be looking to break into cars. So any type of suspicious activity in and around cars and areas where cars are parked, we would like people to alert us.
It's busy all year round amongst the farming community, but certainly those with sheep. We're in lambing season now, and this was the focus of a feature on Crime Call. Is that correct?
It is, yeah. Yeah. So the last, I think it was Monday week ago, actually, was the latest edition of Crime Call. So this was highlighted, the issue of sheep worrying during lambing season, January to late April, lambing season. So this can lead to the death of sheep. It can cause severe financial loss to farmers and distress to all involved. Sheep and livestock worrying occurs when a dog chases, attacks or kills livestock. leading to injury, suffering to the animals, or results in financial loss to the owner of the livestock. So even well-trained dogs can pose a risk, you know, if they're left uncontrolled or they're allowed to roam freely. And we do often see posts up there on social media, particularly about there's a dog in my estate. Can anybody tell me who owns, you know, and dogs roaming freely, dogs found wandering. We would ask people just to be conscious this time of year in particular, when it is lambing season, just to have control. I actually have dog owners' obligations here, so we'll go through them, what their obligations are. Dog owners should be aware that under the Control of Dogs Act 1986, they must keep their dog or dogs under control at all times, ensure their dog or dogs are on a lead near livestock, and they should have a valid dog license and also microchip their dog. So that's obligations that are on dog owners.
Yeah, and we did speak to landowners in the past that even dog owners out exercising their dogs, you know, where lanes run through farming property or alongside it or adjacent to it, they don't seem to realise that their dog running, you know, 100 metres exactly, in front yeah. of them along a fence or barking or what have you is enough. That is bothering sheep as well.
Like. Yeah, so the best practice if you are in a country area where there are farmlands and sheep and, you know, other animals, cows, whatever, the best practice probably would be to keep the dog on a leash so that it's fully within your control. And just for people to be aware also that a farmer, you know, if a farmer does find a dog on their land worrying their livestock, that farmer is entitled to shoot the dog. Mm-hmm. So just to be aware of that as well. And I know myself how much love people have for their pets. Nobody wants to see that happen. So that's something to consider, just that that can happen, you know, that that is a right of a farmer.
All right, okay. Now, some warnings and reminders in relation to bogus callers, Grainne.
Yeah, we do issue these quite regularly, but we actually received reports there at the weekend, I believe it might have been Saturday, that within the Castlefin area, a white van with Monaghan registration plates, there was two men on board. They were calling to houses in the Castlefin area offering to conduct roofing work. Now there was a writing on the side of this van to say that they were roofing contractors or whatever. So just in light of these reports, we wish to issue advice for those with family members who may be susceptible to having bogus callers call with them. Such callers may offer services such as home maintenance, such as power washing, roofing, tarmacking, painting, or they could be offering to sell goods. They prefer to target the more vulnerable and people who live alone. So our advice is, if you need to have work done at your home, please contact a family member, a neighbour, a friend, someone you trust. Ask their advice. Have they used someone's service before? Did they find them reliable? You know, at least then you know what you're getting. You know you're getting somebody genuine to do the work. Genuine tradesmen rarely call door to door. They don't need to. They have enough work on without
they
having
to
call.
To the door when you've, they're supposed to.
When they're supposed to. I'll not say anything about that. I don't want to be in the outs with all the tradesmen.
Yeah, exactly. But they're so, you know, they're so busy and word of mouth keeps them busy. You know, it's the old mantra, isn't it? If it's too good to be true, it's often not true.
Exactly.
You know what I mean? And there's no one involved in plumbing, tiling, roofing, you know, yard maintenance that is knocking doors looking for work.
Well, they don't have the time.
You know, maybe coming up to the summer, you know, some you know, young teenagers maybe might come up with a garden yeah. cleaning business or something, right? But at this time of year, they simply, as you say, Grainne, you don't have time. But if it sometimes if you're on your own and someone comes up and they're quite aggressive and it's time sensitive and we've just mm-hmm. got this stuff available now or we can just fit you in now, that's how it works, isn't
yeah,
it?
Yeah, and
it
was like the recent, the tarmac scam recently as well, was quite similar as well. Now, and I will just say that this van that was in the Castlefin area over the weekend, Gardaí have not interacted with those drivers. So, look, if it's a case that there are genuine tradesmen, we would like them also to make contact with us, just to make us aware that they are genuine, 100%. Just in the interests of fairness. But it is very unlikely that genuine tradesmen would call to your door. So just if anybody is living alone or vulnerable, we're advising them don't engage with these callers. Don't open your door. Chain lock, something as simple as a chain lock. You know, you don't have to open the door fully. Some bogus callers can be quite intimidating. You know, they're in pairs or twos or threes and they can't, sometimes they won't take no for an answer. And if you're in the house on your own, maybe you're elderly or vulnerable, that can be very intimidating and you don't know what to do. We would encourage people, don't open the door fully. Keep your doors and windows secured, even when you're there on your own. If you can at all, if a caller like this calls into your driveway and just maybe as they're exiting the property, try to jot down their registration number. Let us know, did they swing left or right when they went out your gate? Something as simple as that can help us track them down on the road, you know, further down the road and to check them out.
Brilliant stuff. You enjoyed Friday night?
I love Friday night. I had a great night.
Sports Awards.
It was absolutely brilliant.
It was a
yeah.
national event. Big turnout, huge, wasn't it? And so, everyone was huge as well. All the lads, very tall, very intimidating going into the bathroom.
None of the you didn't find the women intimidating, just the men.
No, it's a few tall.
It was very well put together, and yeah. It was
and
an absolutely.
The food and presentation was lovely, wasn't it?
Everything.
And it was a mixture of obviously celebration. There's some poignant bits as well in terms of honouring the late Garda McCallion. That's correct. Yes, it is. Robin McCallion. There was a lovely video montage for him, and I'm sure the family were up as well. So it was a mixture of emotions, wasn't it? Marking that person's memory, of course, that got Garda McCallion's memory, but also then obviously recognising people's achievements in sport. And
did you tap
Drew Harris up for a promotion or anything? No,
I actually know it.
Did you get a selfie?
I wasn't talking to him at all. Probably. I wasn't talking to the man at all night. No, but we were very honoured this year to have the award ceremony within Donegal, and I think we did do Donegal proud. Now it was very well organised.
So. I think anyone coming up this way would say, right, they know how to put on a show.
And just on that note, I would like to say congratulations to all the recipients of the awards. From the night, very well deserved.
And Jim McGuinness too, he spoke. He was always interesting.
He did. And everybody just went out at one stage, the toilet, and came back, and everybody was glued to him. He's a great speaker.
He commands that all right. I think he's speaking in Milford, actually, at a different event this weekend. Okay, Granny, listen, thank you so very much indeed.
No problem.
We look forward to seeing you again really soon. That was Community Garda information for this Tuesday, the 4th of March. And it's back with you after the 10 o'clock news next Tuesday. Okay, it is Pancake Tuesday, and it's that time of the year where we all sort of wonder how we mix these three ingredients and come up with something edible. But there's more to it than that. Gary O'Hanlon, executive chef at the K-Cob. Gary, last time we spoke to you, this time, maybe it was last year or 6 or 7 months ago, you were just sort of taking up your role at the K-Club. Huge job. How's that going for you?
Yeah, so far so good, Greg, without a shadow of a doubt, I'm 32 years now cooking professionally. It's the toughest job I've had by a country mile. Way bigger. I knew it was going to be big and busy, but it has exceeded those expectations. But look, I'm delighted. One of the hardest things whenever you go into a role like that is wondering if you're still going to have as big an impact on culinary as what I might have done in Viewmount, where all I had to worry about from one end of the week to the next was just dinner. There was no bar, no breakfast, no real banqueting. It was just fine dining dinner every 5 nights a week, and that was it. Whereas the K Club is just so vast. I have 4 head chefs, sous chefs, 42 chefs all together spread across a massive resort, 3 different restaurants plus banqueting. But I've been thrilled with, reputationally, it's definitely growing. We're going in the right way. And look, it takes a maturity as well, I think, to know that it takes time and not to be expecting results right away. But I'm there a year now in a couple of weeks, the 25th of March. And, I'm happy with the progress, thank God.
Because I'm a bit of a control freak. I don't know what you're like, right? But your name and reputation is on every single dish, right? So you have to have great faith with your 4 head chefs and all the other chefs, because it's as if you're, I presume you're the type that as when that's put on the table, the person receiving it shouldn't know whether it was by your hand or one of your team's hand. So you have to keep over all of that all of the time. Huge drain on emotional resource, I'd imagine.
Oh yeah, big time. But look, I was really blessed that I inherited brilliant head chefs. There was one of the restaurants, the Palmer, which is up at the Ryder Cup. The Palmer restaurant is beautiful and probably the busiest restaurant on the resort, and I brought in a head chef there, and my sous chef came with me from France, who's been with me a long time. But, all the head chefs have been receptive to me. I write the menus, they get input, I allow input, I encourage input. But once we agree on a dish and we create an SOP, it's called, that's it. There's no black and white then thereafter. That is the dish and that is it. You know what I mean? So, and they've proven to be great at that. Once we lay out the standard, look, you'll always have little issues here and there, but I got to say, for the volume that goes through the K Club. It's incredibly consistent, and you know, consistency is what breeds excellence overall, you know.
All right, outside of the culinary space, what's been the greatest poker experience in the last year? In other words, something that's happened that couldn't have happened if you hadn't got this job at the K Club. There has to be something. I'm not talking, I'm not asking how much you get as a bonus, but what has been your what's been your memory or experience or a happenstance that couldn't have happened for you unless you had moved to take up executive chef at the K Club?
Well, I don't know, really. I suppose you get to mingle with a lot of, mingle's probably the wrong word, like, but you're in and around a lot of well-known people as well, you know what I mean? But then again, you got to figure my job before the K Club was in a 6-7 star resort and a chateau in France, where I've got crazier stories from there, I can tell you, you know what I mean? Look,
I think we need an off the record chat, Gary. That's where, yeah, I think this is going.
yeah. Like, I mean, I could be walking through the lobby in the K Club and you could bump into Gary Barlow. Paddy Harrington was strolling around the place last week. Niall Quinn lives on the resort, you know what I mean? Like, I remember Niall Quinn might have opened the Lennon Festival one year, or he was Judah, and I remember being so starstruck. Like, I'm not going to say I'm sick looking at Niall, like, but I see Niall every other day. I look out of my office and his house is right there, and I bump into him all the time. He's part of the furniture. So it's a very weird and wonderful world I find myself in these days.
Especially at the higher level, but I think right across the board, there's a respect, a built-in respect for chefs, I think. If that makes sense. I don't know how to phrase it otherwise, but you know, it's not a Joe Soap walking into a room. You know, if you're there is a status associated with the position you find yourself in as well. Do you know what I mean? Whereby you could get someone like a Padraig Harrington going, "Wow, Gary, it's lovely to meet you. That was absolutely amazing." He'd probably give you some advice on mindfulness or something at the same time. Who's to say?
Well, if he could give me some advice on how to cure a slice in my driver, it'd be much more welcome, Greg.
All right, come here. I've held you up far too long. I find that conversation far more interesting as to how to make a pancake. But that's why we invited you on, and I'm only joking. Yes. So run through executive chef at the K Club, but we're in our kitchen at home. What do we need, and how do we make the perfect pancake? And I won't interrupt.
Really, really simple. I call it the one mug method, okay? Use the same mug for the flour as you use for the mug, or use for the milk rather. So a mug full of flour can be plain flour. I actually use self-raising because I like a decent rise. And I, even with that, I still use baking powder. So one mug of flour into the bowl, one mug of whole fat milk into the bowl, one heaped teaspoon of baking powder, one whole large egg, and then a fairly decent pinch, one large pinch of salt, table salt, and mix that up and leave it for about 10 or 15 minutes, and then give it one last little gentle fold with the spoon just before you make it, and then heat your frying pan, ideally a cast iron skillet or a non-stick pan, decent bit of heat, and then make sure you start frying your pancakes in oil. Don't start them in butter. So a little bit of flavored as vegetable oil or canola oil, no flavor, no olive oil or anything strong like that, just vegetable oil. And then using a potato mash scooper. That's the perfect size scoop for pancakes if you want to give two or three in a portion. So just in with this potato scoop and then tip them all out. And turn the heat down to a medium heat. And then once you start seeing bubbles on the top of them, flip them. And then for the last 20 to 30 seconds, add in one or two little knobs of butter. And make sure that you flip them again for 10, 20 seconds either side. Making sure that both sides get a little touch of the butter. And then what I do is I always dust them with icing sugar. I get some berries, raspberries, blueberries, blackberries and strawberries. 1 teaspoon of caster sugar into them. Give them a wee mix while the pancakes are cooking. Put a little gloss on the berries and then a little vanilla bean cream. So by 250 mils of cream will do a whole family of 6 or 7 or 8 people. 250 mils of cream, 1 tablespoon of icing sugar, 2 teaspoons of vanilla paste with the bean. Whip that up till it's stiff. So then you've got your pancakes dusted with icing sugar, a decent rosette of vanilla bean cream on top, 2 or 3 teaspoons of Nutella around, and then finish with your berry, fresh berry compote, for use of a better word, and then a good drizzle of maple syrup. And that's what the kids get every Saturday Saturday.
That's what you're doing. Now, what do we do?
Yeah, well, that could not be easier, you know?
It couldn't be.
Really, it's the mix. It is, honest to God, the mix. Just use the same mug as you used for the flour, as you used for the milk. One egg, one pinch of salt, one heaped teaspoon of baking powder. It is perfect.
Simple, perfect.
Every time.
Gary, listen, continued success. Congratulations on your 1 year in your position. Continued success into the future, and I hope you straighten that drive out as well. Take care of yourself, Gary.
Good man, Greg.
All right, bye-bye. Okay, back with the weather and comments after these. Before I get back into the matter of more serious things, I can't give a definitive answer as to whether or not I have my hands in my pockets in a picture. We've reviewed the picture. We've had VAR in. It's been scrutinised. We sent it to NASA, in fact. But the bottom line is I can't remember. I do know because I've been, and this is only a bit of fun, but have been pulled up on having my hands in my pockets. So I'm very conscious of it. So my gut would be that I didn't, but I can't say with any certainty. And because there is €100 on the line, as was texted in a little earlier on, I can't give you a definitive answer. So I'm very, very sorry about that. I'd be misleading. I'd be lying, and I can't do that. Right, okay. So many comments in this morning. Like, I'm on about hundreds upon hundreds. And I can tell you, there are mid-morning shows that have very little interaction. So we are so blessed to have such a engaged audience. It's very much appreciated. And all views are covered. You know, that's the thing that's remarkable. And 99.9 times out of 100, the views are expressed respectfully and conversationally, and it's fantastic. Greg, why are we interested in other countries in what they are doing? Ireland is in a mess. Look at our hospitals and our housing and all of these illegal immigrants and what's going on around the country. I think it's time to mind our own business and sort Ireland out. We're at a crisis point. Forget about Trump and Putin. We're not insulated from it, though. That's the problem. We are part of the European Union. And we agree with what they do and say, seemingly. So it would be great to from your perspective, I'm sure, to pull up the drawbridge and just focus on what's happening in our little island. But we are a small open economy, and we're part of a very big union. And it's just simply impossible just to sort of stick our fingers in the ears and go, nah, nah, nah. Plus the fact, if we're not talking about it, stuff happens. And if we're not talking about it, it just happens. So it's important that I see the function of what we do here is that we familiarise ourselves with the decisions that are being made on our behalf, whether we agree or not. You know, and we can't just simply ignore the bigger picture sometimes, I don't think. Caller says, Russia still hasn't fully mobilised for war. That's why they haven't taken Ukraine. It's been sending reserves, mercenaries and North Koreans into the grinder, not its own main military force. I could debate that one. Greg, the time for diplomacy has been the last 11 years, and Russia has said on repeat it isn't interested in conceding its own goals, therefore diplomacy has failed. You know the Russians have been paying terrorists to come to Europe for 20-plus years, right? That's mainly Russia's wars that have caused our immigration crisis, all in an effort to destabilise the West. It's a complete naivety to think the rest of Europe isn't in the firing line. And now that the US has been compromised, considering Russia is already attacking other European countries' undersea cables. So I get you. You're talking then maybe that we are actually in the midst of a different type of a war, that it's not just about land invasion, taking countries and stuff. I think you're pointing to that as well. Greg, you were 100% right in what you're saying. You never please everyone. Great show today. Thanks, Tony. I appreciate that. And I appreciate the other stuff. But I'm not here genuinely. I'm not here trying to press any agenda at all. I am genuinely in learning mode here because I know in my heart what feels the right thing, but I know a lot of people can prove that that might not be the right thing. I will ask questions to tease out arguments and to sort of get better to points as well. But I appreciate all comments, negative or otherwise. Hi, Greg. A lot of people in Ireland speak English. I wonder why that is. Does that mean Britain could now decide to invade us based on your caller's argument? Well, they're still here. Greg, can you ask John Vincent about how Russia's behaviour in murdering people in Bucha outside Kyiv was justified? De Valera was tramping around the States looking for support for our independence. Churchill went tramping around the States to try and convince the States to join World War II. A lot of people are not reading their history books nowadays, and that's really sad, they say. Good point, John Vincent. Greg standing up for Zelensky again. He really can't hide his bias. Does Greg really want to keep the war going at the expense of the Irish taxpayer? I don't recognise that opinion in my comments, but I appreciate that maybe that, you know, could be how it came across. Highland should have our poll. Do the Irish people want our government sending over our money? 180 million to Ukraine. And do the Irish people want to keep continuing paying for Ukrainians in Ireland? I'd love to see the results. It's very hard to open a poll like that. And you will see people say on X or whatever that have a particular political leaning following, and they do polls. And of course, it's going to be a landslide one way or another. And that's why when you're doing polls, you really need to engage with people and ask those that are indifferent as well, not necessarily just those that might be motivated to because they feel very strongly. I think the majority of people, if I were to guess, would be probably opposed to that level of money being sent abroad, but I could be wrong. OK, let's take a break. News at 11 on the way.